the education committees, which we then had about 20-something, and the education staff, the relationship between all of these, and to develop a structure and process that increases the effectiveness for planning and delivering judicial branch education. This was quite a task, and having gone through the education requirements episode, I wondered if this could be done smoothly or not, and it was. It was done totally without any controversy whatsoever, so I'm very pleased to report to you. After discussing this with relevant stakeholders and a great deal of work by both the staff and the governing committee, we ultimately developed a new model which was adopted at our November 2009 meeting. And a copy of the model is in your materials, but the essence of the model is it provides greater oversight and involvement by the governing committee, which is your advisory committee, by having for us for the first time review and approve an overarching education plan for the judicial branch. The education plan was developed by 9 new curriculum committees, which include all of the key audiences we presently serve. So what we did is we abolished the 23 or so education committees and adopted 9 curriculum committees. And a good example that I'm familiar with about how a curriculum committee worked is we now have an appellate a curriculum committee that deals not only with appellate justice education, but appellate attorney education and appellate staff education. So one committee can look at all of the needs for education in a category such as the appellate area. So by reorganizing our committees, we abolished those committees. Most of the people who were on the prior committees ended up serving on the curriculum committees. And then, under our new model, the curriculum committees develop not only the subject matter that needs to be covered, but recommended delivery methods. And most of the people who were on the old committees agreed to participate in the new committees. And we now use work groups to develop programs for specific things such as institutes. And those work groups are alive for the single institute, so somebody doesn't have to sign up for life, and they can just participate in one activity at a time, from time to time. So we are more flexible because we prioritize educational needs, and we have developed means of deciding which of the programs should be delivered in one manner or another, for example. And so now we have a 2-year education plan in a single draft, and this includes everything we intend to deliver in the next fiscal year 11 and 12. And we're very proud of this, and it provides greater oversight, as the slide shows, by the governing committee. It uses all the recommendations of these curriculum committees, prioritizes the programs and the products, because we have products, not just programs. And it's flexible. And it has to be flexible because we never know how much money we have from time to time. And so we're able, because we now have alternative delivery methods, to provide education at the lowest cost to the maximum number of people, given the circumstances. And this ensures greater transparency and accountability, which is really important. And Diana is going to go through the details.
Thank you, Justice Roby. So I'm just going to touch briefly on the education plan that is in your materials, and it's in color, and it's in color for a reason. But I do have to say, it's not as if we didn't plan before. This is just a different method and a comprehensive way of planning, and it goes over a 2-year period. And it is extremely helpful. Justice Roby's correct in saying that we really never had this information all in one place for us to see all of the different things that we were doing.
We found there was a lot more we're doing than people thought we were doing because we never put it all together in one chart.
Right. And so you'll see there's like over 300 items here. So it is organized by product type, which is a live program, online course, publication, broadcast. And within each of those categories, you can see the specific events or products that we will develop and deliver in that two-year period, the curriculum committee that is responsible for that content, and then an indication of whether it is new, which are things in red, assumed, which are things that we do every year, so we just keep on assuming, for instance, we'll do the Judicial College, those are in blue, or already delivered, which are noted in yellow. Because the change in our structure and this new planning process occurred in the middle of a fiscal year, and because we have to make plans many months in advance, for instance, to book hotels, some of these pieces of the plan were already in process when we switched over. But we anticipate that many more of, as we do this continually throughout the years, many more of the recommendations will be red. We really look, anything that's noted in red are the recommendations of the curriculum committees and a result of this new process. So let's just take a look at a little example. If you turn to page 3, or look at, Gavin will move us to page 3 of the plan, and look down to item number 48, you will see CEQA, a program developed by the Civil Law Curriculum Committee, and that is being planned as a live statewide program here on site at the AOC, and that it is scheduled for delivery sometime in the next fiscal year. Similarly, on page 12 of the plan on item 191, this is a brand new event. It's in red. In this case, it's a webinar on leaves of absence. And this was suggested by the Trial and Appellate Court Operations Curriculum Committee. They're going to develop and deliver it this year. Every product in this plan is similarly referenced. And what we intend to do is use this plan as a tracking document, and that to see that everything identified in here and approved by the CEJR Governing Committee is either done or there's a report back to the CEJR Governing Committee on what happened. As a for instance, the Appellate Justices Institute was canceled, and so we are going to report about that cancellation. Of course, Justice Roby knows about this, and talk about some new things that we'll be doing instead of the Institute, other ways to deliver that content.
That's the part of the flexibility. Now we still have to, those educational hours are still required, so we have to come up, we have to have alternative delivery methods.
Right. And we're happy that we can be flexible. We don't want to be too flexible. We don't want to have too many cancellations, but this tool is really helpful to us. And I also want to say one thing about the work groups that Justice Roby mentioned. The curriculum committees are looking at the big picture. What should we do and how should we do it? When it comes to planning a specific event or a product, something like even reviewing a bench guide, I mean, we have 55 different publications and 30 online courses that need reviewing and looking at every year. We have a lot of institutional things that we have to continue with year after year. We will use a work group for everything that we do. And with these work groups, we're bringing new people into the fold, people who have expressed interest in working with us in education. And to date, we've had over 160 different people working on work groups, some of them not having been involved in judicial education before. So that was a nice feature of this plan. And I'm extremely proud of this effort and the work that my staff have done on it. It's been very exciting and very time-consuming because we had to resource all of the suggestions that came from these committees. How much time would it take to do something? How much money would it cost to do it? Can we do multiple things? It took a lot of management, and I'm really excited about it. But this will essentially map out our work through the end of this fiscal year and next and prove to be a really invaluable tool to make us more accountable to the governing committee, to the council, and ultimately to the judicial branch and the work that we do.
And I would just close by saying that this is a really good example of how the oversight by the council through the agenda development process resulted in a substantial redirection of what we're doing to the benefit of everybody, because it came from those outside of our actual operation who could tell us, are you doing it the way you really need to do it? And we said, well, we'll take a look. And so that was a very valuable process. Thank you.
Are there questions of Justice Romby or Diane? It is certainly, I think, it's going to be a long-term great improvement in how we deliver education. All right, this is, there's not an action item, so thank you very much for your presentation.